my next guest asks, do we find that society today has a blame culture? You know, things like, it's never my fault, it's always someone else's. So joining us right now is Malcolm Dawes, Authority on People, Performances and Effectiveness. Good afternoon to you. Nice to meet you again, Malcolm.
Hello, Jenny. Good to speak to you again, too.
Yes, absolutely. Look, I remember as a child, right, you'd do something wrong and you'd be standing there and your mum would be saying, come on, tell the truth. Did you do it? And we'd say things like, Dolly did it.
Yes.
Or the dog.
In my case.
You start early, don't you, trying to shift the blame?
You do. And, you know, as humans, we're designed to sort of try and protect ourselves, and our brains look for the negative, and therefore, you know, we're designed to try and look for a way to keep secure and keep safe. So we do learn early, and I guess when you look at children in particular, it is said in some research that the more children lie at a young age, that is, the cleverer they are, because they recognize the ability to manipulate things. But as we get older, we learn, certainly as older children, that manipulation can still be done, but it's up to the parents then, and as we become adults, to change that approach somewhat.
Yes, you've quoted a couple of very good explanations here, really, with the department stores or the foods chains, Coles and Woolies, putting on display at the checkout, and a lot of parents have complained that their children are sort of insisting they get the sweets and things that are left there for, you know, to purchase. So what's your take on that?
Well, it's right. It's, you know, like I think we live in this sort of society where we're always looking to blame somebody else for something. So the example of, you know, the kids, you go around any supermarket and you get to the checkout, and there's at the checkout there's usually an array of lollies and chocolates and sweets and what have you, and the children reach up to get one and the parent says, no, you're not having it, it's nearly meal time, and the child throws a tantrum, and then the parents blame the supermarkets for having the sweets on display in that area, when in fact it's the parents' responsibility and it's the parents' fault that their child reacts. Well, it's not their fault that their child reacts that way, but it's their fault that the child needs to be stopped, if you like. They can't blame Coles, Woolies, Aldi, anybody else for having the sweets on display in that area.
Well, they're putting it there because they do want them to purchase them.
They do, but it's the same. The same argument follows for obesity. I think now Australia is possibly number one, or certainly one of the top two or three countries where obesity is an issue. And you know, we see on the TV and the news about the fact that it's the fault of the advertisers. It's the fault of various different junk food chains and fizzy drinks that we're getting fat. Well, actually, is it the fault of the advertisers, or is it the fault of people that say, oh, look, it's the advertisers, I must go and put another burger in my mouth? or should we take some responsibility ourselves? Mm. We have governments, and I don't know whether government is the right topic for today.
No, not really. What government?
Canberra. Exactly, what government? But, I mean, you know, governments not only in Australia but in other parts of the world have created this air of, you don't have any responsibility anymore, we'll take that away from you.
Yeah, true.
And look at the carrier bags issue in the supermarkets. You know, people, instead of saying, okay, it's my responsibility to remember to take a bag or a box to the supermarket, and if I forget, oh, well, I'll blame the supermarkets for not having a carrier bag for me to use.
Yeah.
People, sort of society now is, and we see it in the workplace, we see it everywhere in relationships. When something goes wrong in the workplace, somebody points the finger of blame and says, well, if you didn't do that, I wouldn't have this problem now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we need to take on a bit of responsibility ourselves for things, and not constantly point the finger of blame at somebody or something else. There's a great quote from a guy called Jim Collins, who wrote a number of books. I think the book that I remember this quote was from a book called Good to Great, where he talks about leadership, and he says, particularly when something goes wrong, the best leaders look in the mirror to find out what they did wrong. And equally, when something goes right, they look out of the window to see who they can give the credit to rather than taking on that credit themselves. Sadly, we see in society and in the workplace and in relationships and in parenthood, we do the opposite.
Yeah, it goes to higher places. Like, you're right. I mean, even in politics at the moment, they're all blaming each other and backstabbing and everything. It's a human frailty, isn't it? A very big one.
It is, and as I say before, we are designed to look for the negative, and we want to protect ourselves, and so we do look for something else to blame. However, we're clever people, you know, or human beings are clever beings. We can, we're the only creatures, as far as we know, who can think about what we've just thought about. In other words, if something comes into my world, and let's say there's an issue which has caused me an issue, I can either react to my primitive brain, and my primitive brain says, look out, danger, warning. So I can react to that and get angry. I can run away. I can point the finger of blame. Or I can stop and think about what I've just thought about.
Yeah.
And that means that I'm able then to be aware of my response, my reaction, and say, okay, is it really the supermarket's fault that my child is reacting like this? You know, whether the lollies are at the checkout, whether they're somewhere else, or, you know, whether you've got to ask for them from a sealed cabinet like we have to do with cigarettes, at the end of the day, I can respond in a way which is far more positive. I can take some accountability for my actions, whether it's with my child in the supermarket, or whether it's in the workplace, or whether it's in a relationship. We hear awful stories sometimes about people's relationships and how things go terribly wrong, and it's, you know, maybe the extremes are because people have other, you know, situations going on, but there is an ability for us to stop and think about what we've just had a feeling or a thought about, and change our approach, so-called rethinking or reframing the way we think, and therefore we respond differently and more positively.
You're absolutely right, and there are more serious outcomes, I guess, with this attitude too. For example, road rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, people react very, very badly. We've seen terrible examples of that. People that decide to try drugs or take drugs, for example. Well, my friends wanted me to try it.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the blame game as well. Oh, well, you said I should try it. You said I should drink too much. You gave me that next glass of wine. You offered me the drug. And the road rage thing, you're absolutely right as well. I remember years ago, a Disney cartoon was made called Mr. Walker and Mr. Wheeler. I don't know if you ever saw it. It's quite a grainy old cartoon. I'm sure you can find it on one of the
YouTube
video sites, YouTube, something like that. But it was about a typical sort of, I think the character was played by Goofy, and he was a very happy-go-lucky sort of person leaving his home, and he sees a little ant walking on the floor, and he stops so he doesn't tread on it, and he picks it up and puts it on the grass. And so, in other words, depicting this delightful, pleasant individual.
Yep.
And that was Mr. Walker. He then gets into his car, sits behind the wheel, and it was a parody on Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah,
and
you're
he
right.
gets behind the wheel, and he turns into road rage. And this was years ago. And now, of course, we see that's a perfect example of somebody crashing into somebody else or being cut up at a junction. The person, usually with the road rage, blames the other person, and the consequences can be quite severe in terms of violence and, you know, even deaths in some places. You know, some countries, you know, you get the odd story of people being killed through road rage. So it's the same sort of thing, but a much extreme version.
It's like, I think sometimes, particularly say with road rage, it's like you have come into my space. How dare you offend me? How dare you cut me off at that particular junction? They may not have seen him, but, you know, how dare you? They don't want to be treated with disrespect as they see it that way.
That's right. And it fascinates me. I just last weekend drove down to the sort of mountains south of New South Wales to have a weekend with my son and his girlfriend, and we were driving along one of the motorways, and I saw this very slow truck just passing a junction, and a car was joining the motorway, and he was trying to accelerate to get in front of the very slow truck, but he timed it badly, and so he had to slam his brakes on and pull in behind the truck. And then as he overtook the truck, he, you know, used one of his digits to wave a farewell. And I said to my wife, that was just ridiculous driving. But of course, the reason for the finger out of the window was because it was the truck driver to blame, not the person, as you say, who, you know, this is my space. I've got the fast car. I should be allowed to go in front of you. But because he mistimed it, he nearly came a cropper. But of course, it was the truck driver's fault, as far as he was concerned. We see it everywhere. It's pervasive in society. Blame is all around. And if, you know, if we were to stop and, you know, use what I call a little bit of emotional intelligence, then a lot of these things could be much easier and we could take a bit of responsibility and be a bit more positive.
That's all very correct and it should be done, but people, unfortunately, don't want to feel bad about themselves. This is the problem, you see. If they get caught out, they think they're going to be humiliated and looked down upon, and this is the human frailty that we have to deal with, I think.
It is. But you know, there's a lot of work and a lot of research done which shows that once we accept that, you know, it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to admit our frailties. And in fact, there's a gentleman called Martin Seligman who some years ago wrote a book called Learned Optimism. And, you know, we're all born with a bit of optimism and all born with a bit of pessimism. But you can actually, the good news is you can learn to be more optimistic. You can learn to take on responsibility. You can learn that it's actually okay to, you know, be wrong and to learn from your mistakes. And the more you learn from your mistakes, the better things become, rather than constantly looking out for somebody else to point the finger at. And you're right, it is a human frailty.
Yeah.
We're designed biologically in that way, the so-called fight and flight syndrome. You look immediately for something to do, to blame, which protects us and says, well, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So you're right, it is a human frailty, but there are mechanisms by which we can stop and think and take on a little bit more responsibility. The problem is, of course, as we're seeing in Canberra and in other parts of the world in government, which I think you and I have touched on in the past, you know, we have poor role models now who don't really demonstrate that strength of, you know, taking things on. In fact, I talked to somebody just the other day who said the last person he remembers in Australian politics was John Howard, who, like his politics or not, like the person or not, he stuck to his convictions, and if he got it wrong, he would say, I got it wrong.
Yeah, I was about to say that, you know, the minute somebody apologises, you are forgiven, and you learn by that mistake, and you move on, and people will forgive you if you genuinely do say, I'm terribly sorry, I made a mistake.
And so many people, as you rightly say, it's the human frailty, they don't want to apologise, and as soon as you sort of, I think it's Latin, isn't it? Mea culpa. It was my fault. I did it. I'm really sorry. It's something called adult-to-adult behavior. Another guy that I've read some years ago called Eric Byrne wrote a thing called transactional analysis and essentially says, in simple terms, we can behave like children. We can behave like parents. Neither of, you know, both of those sort of approaches work in the right context, but they don't work in a workplace relationship. They don't work in many other sort of relationships. But when we talk adult to adult, which means we remain objective, we don't point the finger of blame, we don't become offensive and insult the other person.
Exactly.
And if we've done something wrong, we accept it. We say, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have done that. How can we put this right?
In a human relationship, for example, you know, husband, wife, boyfriend, whatever, that is most important.
It is. And I've been fortunate enough to be married for 26 and a half years now.
How many times you apologised?
Oh, every day. Maybe several times. Not so much now because I realise what I did wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
My mistakes.
You learn.
You're right. It happens in all walks of life and all types of relationships. And, you know, again, you don't need to, you know, look at any clever books. It's simply a matter of saying, I did it, I'm sorry.
It's respect.
Put it right.
It's respect.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we as parents sometimes should apologise to our children if we feel we've made a mistake.
Yes, yeah, that's a really challenging one, I think, because, of course, the relationship there of hierarchy, of authority, of being in charge of your kids, you know, how can you possibly apologise to your children because you got it wrong?
And I
had to do that about 3 or 4 years ago with my youngest son, who I kept on nagging that he should go to the careers teacher. He was 17 and he didn't know what he wanted to do, and so I said, go and speak to the careers teacher, for goodness sake. Whereas my wife was saying, look, he's 17, he's got plenty of time. Anyway, he went to speak to his careers teacher, and his careers teacher said, Jack, you're only 17, you've got plenty of time, don't worry.
Did you apologise to your wife?
I had to apologise to two people, yes. My wife and
That's
my
good.
Youngest son, because he came home and said, Dad, you're wrong, Mum's right. This is what the careers teacher said. And here we are, you know, 4 years on, he's 21, and he's as happy as Larry. He's got two jobs, in fact, both of which he absolutely loves. You're right. If we can apologise to our children as well,
it's a big breakthrough.
A big, It is, indeed.
It's a word, you're absolutely right, Malcolm, that's not sort of used or expressed anywhere near enough. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people think it's a weakness to say sorry.
Far from it.
And I think the fact that we don't say it often enough is a reflection of the fact that it is a strength, and the fact that if we were to use it a little bit more, again, if we looked at some of the antics of politicians around the world, of other sports leaders, you know, I think back still to the Steve Smith incident where the ball tampering, when he... maybe he did apologize in the end, I'm not sure, but I think it was, what's the other guy, there was another guy who didn't apologize on a number of different David Warner, that was right, he's come to me now. He in the press interviews and so on didn't seem to have it in him to apologize for what had happened. And again, you know, that Steve Smith thing, there was a finger pointing of blame there.
That's right.
It was the leadership's fault. Well, actually, you are the leader. You're the captain of the team.
Take it on. That's exactly right over here. You can't go blaming a team. I've just had a couple of callers come through. Dave rang in from Gosnells. He says that Adam and Eve were the first people to blame each other.
Yeah. That's right. There you go. It all started back then.
Ed said, and Jill also rang in from Yokine saying she thoroughly agrees with your comments. Well done.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear.
So if I've ever offended you, Malcolm, I do apologise.
Jenny, that's something that you've never done so far anyway.
Give it time. I'm apologising in advance.
that's even better.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.